First, let me begin by saying it's great to be a Detroit Lion. I believe the time is now. Not 2 years or 3 years from now, down the road somewhere, but right here, right now.
He dives in for the touchdown. Did he get it? Yes, sir, he did. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Matthew took it across, and the Lions have taken the lead with 12 seconds to go.
Takes the snap. Giants bring four. Stafford with time. Looks. Rolls to his right now. Slips one tackle. Looks and looks. Throws down. Field got a man wide open. Calvin at the 30. Calvin in between him and the end zone. But air to the end zone. Calvin touchdown. Detroit Lions.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The Detroit Lions Podcast Post Game Show with your hosts, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast, episode 34. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit, and it's a live post game show. I am your host, Chris, and with me is my co-host, Case. How you doing, man?
I'm toast.
Of course you are. You have to work again. Got one of those shitty ass jobs. But we've got our good friend and big man, Mike, the ambling bastard. How are you doing, my man?
Could be better, couldn't it, Chris? I think it's fair to say I'm quite fucked off right now, in fact.
I'm feeling a bit fucked off myself.
Yeah, absolutely. That was just a huge pile of wank, wasn't it? There was very little we could walk away from that game feeling good about, and quite a lot we can bitch about.
Yep.
Should we do it?
I think we will. A large pile of wank is probably the most appropriate description I've heard yet, so we'll expound on that. Today's show, we're going to do a quick roundtable with Mike and I. Going to talk about the game, talk about some of our feelings, some of our observations, and then we're going to open up the phones to your calls. So let's get going. Hey, Case, you ready to go, my man?
Danger, danger.
Oh, yeah, right. You're still singing that song.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, guys, remember, check us out live on Twitter. Give us a follow at DET Lions Podcast. That's DET Lions Podcast. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes. Those have done so far. Thank you very much. It could be Stitcher. It could be iTunes. It could be Podbean. It could be Google Play. It could be any one of those things. Just give us a rating if you would. We appreciate it. It does help us out a great deal. Don't forget, there's a couple ways you can help us out monetarily without spending a dime that you would not have otherwise spent. And that's the way we want to keep it. We want to take the things that you guys are going to do anyway and use them to help us rather than ask you to send money or anything kind of crappy stuff like that. So on our website, there's a couple places you can go. There's a sponsors page. On that page, you can get go to Fanatics. If you click on the link from us to there, we'll get a little kickback from all of your official merchandise, signed material, memorabilia, official jerseys, the whole thing, any team you like, not just the Lions, any sport you like, not just football. Also, there's SeatGeek. Go ahead and find seats to theaters, tickets, sporting events all around the country. Pick your seat. Don't let someone else pick your seat for you. And lastly, the biggest one that's been the most help and you guys have used the most, especially in this time of the year where people tend to make some more purchases than normal, go to our website, DetroitLionsPodcast.com, turn off your ad blocker, and there's a little bit of ad on the right side for Amazon.com. If you click on that ad or search that ad and then click on an item, either way, that'll take you to Amazon. And what it does is it gives them a little code to know that you came there from us and we get a little bit of kickback. Again, doesn't cost you anything. It's something, you know, you're going to make a purchase anyway. They just give us a little bit of help on that, and that really keeps our bills paid and keeps the show going. So you guys have done that so far. Thank you again. Thank you so much. It's really making a difference and making this a lot easier for us to keep doing. All right. Lastly, I want to talk about something special going on in Detroit. It's the Festivus Benefit Concert. Three bands, one of which we play in the pre-show opener here for the live show, the Detroit Cobras, one of my big-time favorites, local Detroit band. Those guys are just so good. Howling Diablos and the Royal Blackbirds are also going to be there. It's on December 19th. Doors are open at 5 p.m. It's the Royal Oak Farmers Market. It's a benefit. There's all kinds of really cool stuff going on. They're going to have the feats of strength. They're going to open up a festival pole for everyone to see, or Festivus pole for everyone to see. And it benefits the South Oakland Shelter and their work with the homeless. So it's a great, great cause. It's a time of year you really look to help other people out. You can get tickets and info from www.festivustix.com. Festivustix.com. Check them out. And I can't tell you enough, I can't recommend the Detroit Cobras enough. I see them every time they come out to LA. All right, with all that being said and all the announcements out of the way, let's do a quick review about the game. Mike, I'm going to let you get the opener because, you know, maybe we just want to start with that pile of wank.
Okay, let's start with the pile of wank then, shall we, Chris? Where to begin? Right, Corey Fuller.
Fuck, man.
Yeah. I made a list. I tried to make a list of things that we could talk about. And I had a positive list and a negative list. And my negative list is much, much bigger than my positive list.
Did you run out of ink at some point?
I had to sharpen my pencil three times for this one. Corey, yeah, he did his little slidey thing again, only he slid too far and didn't knock the ball back. And that was costly for us. Mm-hmm. He missed numerous blocks. I was not impressed with him. James Ehedibo, I don't know what you thought, but he missed tackles and he didn't have a good game. He came a bit more alive towards the end, but again, all over Twitter, all over Reddit, people are saying, "What the rubbery fuck is he doing on the field?"
Yeah, he was just a human missile. That's all he did. Bounce off people, yeah, try to put a hit on him and let him walk away.
Yeah. We talked about him previously a few weeks back, not wrapping up and not making the tackles that he's being paid a fortune to make. I'm 6'1 and about 175, and I reckon I could hit people and wrap my arms around them better than he does. And that's me being the wrong side of 30 and with a crooked back. So you never know. I don't know. Another negative for us, Pettigrew, with that knee of his.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's a big concern because that means we've got Eric Ebron left in tight end.
And did you see how the line broke down after he was gone? You talk about how good of a blocker he is. And I haven't been able to do a good analysis of it yet. I mean, we're just, 30 minutes after the game here. But it seemed like once he was out, the line couldn't block anymore. It was a mess.
Yeah, I mean, I've given Pettigrew some stick before because he's not the best receiving tight end we could envisage in that position. But his blocking prowess, we really missed it today as soon as he was gone. Because we don't have anyone that slots naturally into that position that can do that as well. Ebron's not physically as big, is he?
Two first round picks and neither one of them are the full package.
Absolutely. It's disappointing. With Gru being hurt and out, I was concerned about Whitehead being hurt as well because I thought, you know what, considering how relatively meaningless this game is at this point of the season for the Lions, for us to suddenly be missing two players. I mean, Whitehead has been an absolute rock star some of the previous games, specifically in the last 4 or 5 weeks. And I was thinking, oh man, if we've got our best blocking tight end out and one of our best tacklers out as well, it was a relief when he came back in to me. Big, big relief. Mm-hmm. Next on my list, let's see, what order shall we go in? I wasn't overly impressed with Tomlinson. He missed some critical blocks. Yeah. And was one of the leakiest parts of our O-line again. Mm-hmm. The lack of action that CJ got, again, I did think he was going to go an entire game. It would have been the first of his career without a reception.
Yeah.
And for his sake, I'm glad he got one because he doesn't deserve this. He hasn't deserved any of the misery that this season has brought for him, his teammates and the fans. It's been a... I know I use these idioms that may sound a little cliche, but it's been a shower of shit. It really has. And then my last one, which the reason I'm leaving this one till last is because it's the freshest in my memory, and it's Travis fucking Swanson. Now, I can't imagine that Stafford made the call for that snap to go ahead at the end there. But he did it, but he didn't just do it. He did it badly. And that, I mean, yeah, we were clutching at straws and pushing to get into overtime to then make some last gasp grab at a field goal to pull the win back. But your job as your centre is to snap the ball accurately to your quarterback. Now, I don't know what happened. I don't know what the miscommunication was there. Will we ever? Who knows? But that was just a disaster.
Yeah, and so, it was reminiscent, if anyone remembers, at the end of the Carolina game where we had a chance last year and we fucked up the snap and it cost us any chance at winning that game as well. Consistent O-line issues, not just in blocking, but, I mean, in the very, very basics. The stuff they do in, my son's flag football league and Pop Warner football, they seem to be able to do that with regularity and success at about the same rate as this so-called professional team named the Lions.
Yeah. So that rounds out my list of negatives that I would take away from the game. And I think we can expand on all those points at some point later in the show. I'm sure we're going to get people calling in to discuss those in some detail. On the positive side, though, let's look at some of the good things that came out of that game. For me, first and foremost, I've said it before, I'll say it again, I am a huge Joik Bell fan. And his running was much, much better today. It was almost like we were really seeing the Joik Bell of old. And that was great for me. I mean, at one point, what was it, in the third quarter, he was up to about 8 yards per carry, which is by far, as far as I can remember, his highest this season.
Yep.
He was 32 yards over 4 carries.
And it's interesting because he was coming alive as Abdullah completely wilted. The timing for Bell was perfect for the team to get a running game out of him. The timing was just right, but I don't know. Yeah. On one hand, you think, wow, we have, maybe we were built well at running back and had this team, effectively, I'm going to say the season is down to two things, play calling and blocking of the offensive line. Had that been put together, the way that the running backs have flowed, this really could have been a good team. This could have been really effective team.
It could have been, and that's what we were hoping for, given what we saw coming off the back of last season and throughout the preseason. And that's why I think it's been such an absolute disappointment to the fans to see the farce that's been this season play out. It's you could have suspected it because it's the Lions, but we didn't really see it coming as such, did we? Expected better, and it's a bit, like I say, it's just been a huge disappointment to see. And I think you're quite right. Play calling, absolutely. We know we've had a problem with that. We knew we had a problem in the first couple of weeks when people were saying, opponents were saying, we know what you're doing. Right. We can see it coming. We know exactly what's going to happen. We know who's going to go where, and we're ready for you. Bring it on. But the O-line and the problems we've had on that front, is Stafford's got to be approaching the most sacked quarterback in the league, isn't he?
In history, it feels like.
He's I wasn't thinking in history, but yeah, keep it going like this, he could well get that. I mean, he's got one record already, and this is one of the other positives, actually, him hitting his 25,000 passing yard mark.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, Aaron Donald coming into this game had 9 sacks. And alone, he got 3 more today. Putting him
he did,
up,
yeah.
Thanks to the Lions, Aaron Donald's right in the realm of Ziggy and J.J.
Watt. Yeah. He was a force to be reckoned with today. On the positive side, I'd... Quandre Diggs as well, actually. He's lurking on my list of good things.
I had mentioned that. Yeah, Diggs Slay. What a neat little combo there. He looked good out there and gives me hope for next year, for sure, that he could really grow into that role and be something, something unexpectedly good.
Yeah. It's something we can have draw a bit of hope from.
Yeah.
Looking forward, because, I mean, this season's a write-off now, isn't it? Realistically, anyone that was clinging to a 2.3% chance of making the playoffs on the back of today, you can kiss that goodbye now. Because
anyone's clinging to 2.3% for the playoffs, man. I don't know if they've sobered up since last game.
Yeah, you have a point. And the last positive for me, because the first jersey I ever bought was Tate's when he came over from Seattle. I like watching Tate. I know he's had a bit of a tumultuous relationship with the fans and possibly some of his teammates this year, But I love watching him score touchdowns. So yeah, that was a positive outcome from the game. And last but not least, I thought Josh Bynes had a couple of good moments in the game as well. He made a couple of crucial stops, one of which, if I remember rightly, he was the one who took down Todd Gurley when he made one of his breakout runs and came damn close to scoring from a distance.
Yes.
So that was nice to see, because he's had a bit of an up and down season as well.
Absolutely.
And here endeth my roundup for the moment.
All right. So, yeah, I have a couple of things. I'm going to answer a question. We had an Irish listener, Johnny McGrath, come in with a question for us and wondering, is this the real Cooter offense? And so this is Lombardi's offense still with a Cooter twist. Sorry, yeah. I just can't say anything. I don't know his name without laughing. That's really it. This isn't the full Cooter. You just got a peek. It's like going to a burlesque show, I guess. Best way to put it. We wouldn't know what Cooter can do till next year. There's been some talk about Gase as a possibility as head coach. I think we're running a little fast on that, not having a GM in place yet. I still think you work from the top down, filling those roles. But if Gase comes, Cooter's likely to stay and possibly stay in that same position. So we'll definitely see Cooter's offense next week. What you see is Cooter's play calling under the conservative umbrella of Jim Caldwell. The one thing we do get out of it, though, is that Stafford has a little bit more freedom, but he's still under that same, you know, dark cloud of Caldwell. So
yes.
you're just getting the peek at the Cooter, Johnny. Sorry about that. And then the difference between drafting Aaron Donald versus Eric Ebron, I think it's huge. Three sacks for Donald today, all kinds of pressure, and we had two catches from Ebron. Both for minimal gains. Now that I'm a huge fan of Ebron, I was hoping we could see more from him, see him start breaking out this year, but he's got a stamp of bust hanging over his head right now. That last throw to him, it was uncatchable. It couldn't be interference because he couldn't have caught it in the first place. So anyway, Aaron Donald, I think, would be a huge difference maker. I think our defense would be right where it was last year and would have kept us in a lot more games than it has this year. So that's there for you, Johnny. Hope you appreciate it. A couple things that I saw today. Officiating, these fucking assholes, man. I'm going to start not with the obvious one, but there was they originally called it on Ziggy, then said it was Jason Jones, defensive holding. Pure fucking horseshit, you know, made of whole cloth. There was nothing there. That was crap. And then, of course, the chop block. And the thing that makes me maddest about the chop block, it never gets called, right? It rarely ever gets called. It didn't get called in Seattle when what's his name, Britt, fuck whatever fucking asshole's name was, he broke Tyron Walker's leg, right?
Yep.
You can hear a snap all the way up in the fucking stands, and we get no call on that one. Yet here we are, and there's nothing. There's literally nothing that could have made you think that was a chop block. I mean, that was just created out of fucking thin air.
It was.
That call.
It was.
A 51-yard play negating call that was made up out of nothing, and then later they called the chop block on St. Louis, which I think was just a bullshit here we're paying you back kind of thing. But you know, even it's so fucking bad, it's so bad. Yes. And I'm gonna go grab this quote later today, and it's gonna be on the podcast for a while. But the sideline reporter lady, she comes up with, just add it to the Lions tab. Fuck
yes.
You and add it to the goddamn tab. Our tab is big enough. I said it before. It's like every four games. That's a game changing play right there. After both offenses were looking dead and just had been looked like they'd been prison raped the week before and had nothing left in the tank. Here you know things are starting to light up and you just totally they went up with 4th and 33 instead of 1st and goal on the 7. The fuck is this garbage, Blandino, you fucking crook? There's too much, too many. And when you see a call like that, that's absolutely a lie. It's not even based in anyone's fucking reality. How you can fucking throw a flag and call that, right? And after the fucking face mask and all the other batted ball and bullshit, you fucking call that. There's only one fucking logical excuse after, or logical explanation after all this, and it's fucking crooked-ass fucking officials. It's a fucking broken league. They can't keep doing this shit. You know, I saw someone tweeted back, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck. It must be a motherfucking duck at this point, because it's just, it's ridiculous to see this. And I'm just, let the fucking teams play. Don't give me a story. I don't want WWE. I don't watch WWE because of, just for this fucking reason. The NFL is not the biggest money-making fucking league in the fucking world because, or maybe the nation, maybe soccer's bigger, but whatever. It isn't that way because of fucking, you know, creating a story. No, let the players play. Let the game play. They're fucking this thing up right now. Goodell and Blandino on the officiating side. This Blandino's officials have gotten worse over the last 5 years under his leadership. Any other company, any other industry would have fired his ass, would have thrown him out and said, fuck you, Blandino, you're a piece of shit. And all of these manufactured bullshit calls against this team have just, it's, look, it walks and talks like a duck. That's it. It's the fuck that. Corey Fuller, fuck that fuck. That fucker, you could fucking send him out with $1 million bill tied around his neck and no other team would fucking play with him. He wouldn't play in the fucking CFL, that piece of shit. He's just epic fail in everything he fucking does. Why is he even sucking up a roster spot? He doesn't do anything well. I think I've seen him make one play on special teams all year, maybe two. Fuck this guy. He's a waste of fucking money. He's a waste of a valuable spot. We're not this bad of a talent team on a talent perspective to have a piece of shit like that on the roster.
Do you think, Chris, sorry to cut across you whilst you're mid-rant, but do you think Corey Fuller's being misused? Because he was originally brought in as a wide receiver, was he not?
He's misused by being in the NFL. He should be on a track team somewhere.
Okay. Yeah, well, fair enough, mate. Fair enough.
Let's see. The St. Louis, most points scored in their last five fucking games. Thank you very much. The fucking Lions are always there to help somebody out. Stafford, fastest at 25,000 yards. Grand deal. Oh, God. It's just, it's almost unwatchable anymore. You know what I mean?
It's becoming a farce, isn't it, Chris? Realistically, I mean, we see it week in, week out. Yes. And this particular, but you know what? It's okay, Chris. It's all right. It's not a problem because the NFL will apologize at some point, and that'll make it okay.
You know what? You're right. That will put us back to our 2.3% chance of the playoffs.
Yeah, let's sit back, take a deep breath and relax because they'll apologize and that'll make it all fine and dandy.
That's all I want is an apology. You're right.
That'll make
it. But it would include Dean Blandino down on his knees, fucking bobbing on my knob. But anyway, let's see. Let's throw out the phone number here. It's 248-782-8384. We'll open up the lines for you guys to give us a call. 248-782-8384. If you prefer, you can call us on Skype. We are Detroit Lions Podcast. It's all one word. You'll find us Detroit Lions Podcast on Skype. Give us a ring, rant, rave, agree with us, disagree with us. We don't care. There's no playoff in the future for this team.
Yeah, we're past caring now, aren't we, Chris?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we've got some good stuff going on. I mean, last week we had Case doing a little bit of singing here.
Danger, danger.
And that one will not ever go away. We're going to be playing that quite a bit. We got a call here from Brian. Brian, how you doing, my man?
Good. How about you? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound great.
Cool.
Hey, now, are you a Redditor? Do you have a Reddit name as well, or should we just call you Brian?
Just call me Brian.
All right.
I was going into this game hoping that we would see a team that didn't have any pressure on them. You know, they were just playing for their honor or whatever, you know, just ready to just, you know, finish out a season with a decent win loss number. And now I feel like it's the other team where the wind's just been knocked out of their sails. They're done. I honestly think we're going to go 4-12 this season. Yeah. I think so.
We very well may well. Although if you saw the end of the Chicago game today, it could certainly come down to that last game of the season at Soldier Field to fight for that first draft
pick of the year. I have to expect that San Diego is going to get another win.
Yeah.
It just feels like it's going to come down to Soldier Field to get that first overall pick.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think I'm kind of glad it's coming this way, because I think every Lions loss is another nail in Caldwell's coffin.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to go, and games like this just make that abundantly clear. That's pretty much all I got.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think Caldwell's gone no matter what. I think a new GM will throw him on his ear. You know, there was a good point made on Reddit earlier today, or maybe it was later last night. I saw it earlier today, about Gase possibly coming in as a head coach, and that, hey, timing is an issue here. We don't want the good coaches to be already selected before we get a chance to grab them, because we're effing around trying to find a GM. But there is a little bit of a sense of urgency here to get a GM in place. And the timing is going to be interesting. If we wind up wanting to pick a GM, say, and I'm just going to make this up, but if we wanted to pick a GM out of the front office of the Patriots, or maybe the Seahawks or the Packers or something, or Arizona even, it's going to be tough, because they're playing a long time, and people are going to start picking up coaches as teams fall out of the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting and scary, and it's going to be an interesting line to try to walk as a team to get the best people in here.
Are we going to get somebody that's even worse than Caldwell? That's the big fear I have right now.
I'm not sure how. I really don't. I mean, and I'm not even being like facetious here. He's just so bad. I think he's like, he doubts himself completely now too. He won't stand up there and say it, but I think the team has lost faith in itself. I think he's lost faith in himself. And frankly, I mean, I was saying it earlier this year, and he won a couple games. I believed it all the way through till today. He's hurting players by coaching this team. Watching them out there with this kind of limp dick kind of run at the ball and at the game, I don't think he's inspiring these guys, and this damage is the kind of stuff that hangs around for a while.
Yeah. And I can only imagine how Calvin Johnson feels right now.
Oh God.
Just not. I mean, I wanted to ask you guys, do you have Caldwell's number? I want to call him up and let him know that Calvin Johnson still plays for the Lions.
But you need to get in line, mate. Frankly, I think we'd all like to let him know that.
I think Calvin might even send him a fucking telegram.
Yeah. maybe we should do a letter writing campaign.
Yeah. That'd actually be kind of funny. Flood him with fucking net letters. Flood the front office. Hey, Caldwell, just so you know, fucking Calvin's still there. He's the place.
Send him Calvin Johnson jerseys in the mail.
You know that second biggest check you write every fucking week?
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
All right, guys, I got to go.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Brian. Cheers, Brian. Thanks for calling in, man. Yeah. All right, Brian, thanks a lot. That was a good call. I'll just throw the number out real quick. Again, 248-782-8384, 248-782-8384, or give us a ring up on Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast. All one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. So what do you think, Mike? I mean, that might be kind of funny to send a couple notes down to the Lions head office, just reminding them where that big check's going.
Yeah, I think it might be worthwhile reminding them. I mean, it does seem... I haven't got a clue. I mean, how many targets did Johnson get today? Four? Five tops?
Yeah, four or five. He had the one catch, right?
He did, yeah. Just the one. And that was almost, you could almost envisage it that, regardless of the play calling, if Stafford was aware of that fact, he would almost be inclined to just launch it to him at any available opportunity to make sure he didn't get his first zero of his career. Because he just wasn't getting used at all, and it wasn't like he was being double teamed the whole time.
No, it's really strange how this has played itself out.
We
went from, right? Okay, so I go back to this thing where Caldwell, his whole stick in coming in was he was going to fix Matt Stafford, right? So here comes Caldwell the mechanic, and what does he do? Well, Stafford's nowhere near getting the yards he used to, nowhere near... you know, any of the successes we saw before. And particularly, he's not throwing it to Calvin. Now, I know, like, jump balls to Calvin aren't the solution, right? And so Jim Schwartz's world of just, if you ever get scared, Matt, throw it to CJ, right? Obviously, not the strategy you want. Now we bring Caldwell, and again, the pendulum swings in such the opposite direction.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We're going to fool them, okay? We're not going to throw the ball to Calvin. And I saw earlier someone say, well, he was double and triple covered all day. Well, then is that must be why Tate saw so much action today, right? They left Tate to catch and run the ball. And TJ Jones, superstar, Mr.
He had a good game.
He really blew one. He's so clutch. You know, what was it, third down? It was before the play that people wanted pass interference for the throw to Ebron that ended the game, but the ball hit TJ right in the hands, and he bopped it up in the air and let it go. I don't know if maybe, you know, Stafford took a shot to the head and he's thinking TJ is CJ. I'm not sure what's going on, really, but our man is throwing the ball to the wrong person.
Yeah, TJ Jones, he had a couple of bum plays, but generally he didn't do too sad. Is it worth having a chat about Stephen Tulloch?
Sure. I'm open for that. Again, let me hit the number really quick again. 248-782-8384. Area code 248-782-8384 or via Skype Detroit Lions Podcast. That's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. All right, let's talk about Tully.
Okay, I'll be brief on Tulloch. He came alive after about 50 minutes of football today, to my eyes. I saw him get burnt and left behind and miss tackles and all sorts. Up until our last... where was it? No, it was the last defensive series we played, and he had a tackle for loss, stopped a 3-yard run, which I think was a Gurley run, but it took him that long to get into the game. And again, you wonder, is there a roster spot that we could free up for someone more capable in the role? I mean, I'm going to go on a bit more about this because I don't know. I'm not suggesting the two guys are completely interchangeable, but one of the things that bothers me a little bit about the way we handle our roster, and this goes right the way back to the preseason, and I'm going to get a little good change of subject and tangent a bit here, but we had a chap, and you may remember him. His name's Jamel Kudjoe.
Yeah.
Why the fuck has he been inactive for so long? The guy had, off the top of my head, he's done a few years in the league, but he showed up and he had a great preseason and we've done nothing with him. I think he played against, it was either the Bears, was it the Bears game? Or did it predate that? And he had a couple of tackles, but since then we've barely used him. And I do wonder what we're doing. I really do. I would like to see him take the field. Now we're at a point where the season's done.
Agreed.
Give the man some game time. Yeah. Get him on the field. Get him working. Get him earning his money.
Yeah, there's a number of guys that we should be giving some time to now. For the last couple games here, you know, the Saints.
And who knows? Maybe we'll see it.
Just forget it. Just sack the season and get your boys some time out there. If you can do it without having Caldwell F them up.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, this late in the season, it's a gamble. Do you bring the guys that haven't had the game time out onto the field and watch them get ground into the dirt and finish injured? Or do you leave them rested and healthy and reduce your medical bills?
Yeah.
For the, because, you know, we've got that many players banged up at the moment. And that again, when we talked about the O-line problems and the play calling, but another thing to consider, which we haven't touched on quite so much in this show, is the amount of injuries we've sustained since pretty much the preseason. When Levy, what did Levy play? The first game?
I think it was like the third game.
But his injury was something, wasn't it to do with something he sustained in, was it a practice injury or was it a preseason injury that he tried to slog through?
It's always been pretty kind of difficult to figure out when it happened.
Okay.
Because he never came up until the day after he signed his contract. And it's been really, for me at least, you know, look, I've got my tinfoil hat on, cinched up pretty tight here with the officials already, so I might as well just keep it on. It felt really good to sign him at the low rate we did. It's like, holy shit, we got a discount on DeAndre Levy. What an awesome deal. This is something, you know. And the thing about it is, I know better than to buy into that anyone's, you know, being nice or anything like that. Hedebo, I didn't buy his shit about wanting to get paid. I knew he knew he lost a step. He knew something was wrong, and his play this year has shown it. He knew last year was the best he'll ever be, and he was trying to capitalize on it. Can't blame him, but you just can kind of read into that. DeAndre Levy, when he signed for that much less than anyone thought he would sign for, I was like, wow, that's great. What a cool guy. No. Next day, he's on the injury report. They knew that. They were signing him with an injury at a discount, and they knew it. And I should have been asking that question. Why did he sign for so little money rather than that's great that he did? Because nothing like that happens in real life.
No. The NFL is a notoriously poor employer. There is no caring for your workers, so to speak, where the NFL is concerned. It is a brutal, brutal workplace to work as a player. And again, who was it who was saying? I think it was a post on Reddit 2 or 3 days ago. It may even have been Tully, but someone was saying, by the time I'm 50, I won't be walking.
Oh, that was Adrian Waddle.
Ah, that's it, yeah. That's the one, yeah. And that's something that, I mean, I've read a few bits and pieces, and you know, people tend to get me NFL-related books for Christmas and birthdays because they know I'm a big football fan.
Are you hinting, Mike?
No. Too late for that, I think. But one of the ones that I've read a couple of times is Slow Getting Up by Nate Jackson, former tight end for the Denver Broncos. And he describes in beautiful detail the shit that the players go through and how banged up they are constantly. And if you look at some of the threads on r/NFL, and people ask about who wants to share their experiences of playing football, nearly everyone's playing with an injury of some description, aren't they? Just, is that injury severe enough to actually stop you from playing to your full capacity, and are you going to be benched because of it? And unfortunately, in Levy's case, was the answer. It was serious enough to incapacitate him, at least, you know, debilitate him sufficiently that he wasn't going to be effective enough on the field to warrant a place on the active roster. But he's one of many. I mean, I'm kind of dismayed that Mathis went out with his concussion. Excuse me. Yeah. But we said at the time, I remember we talked about that in the post-game show, because he took a big hit to the head and came back on. And at the time we said, did he bullshit his way through the sideline concussion protocol or whatever they have before he came back on the field? And it turned out, yeah, he did.
And you can tell in how he played that game, right? Yeah. I remember distinctly he had opportunities to make some pretty solid plays and some good hits, and he totally let off and didn't even make the tackle. He let, I forget who it was, gain a couple more yards knowing one of his teammates would have come in from the side, and he just kind of stopped and did like a little contained dance.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, you know, in retrospect, you know, you feel a little sad because here's this guy, right, at his age, and he's had a couple. He's another concussion. You know, there's, you know, these brain injuries, what they're doing to people. And here's a guy out there trying to stay on the field, but obviously knows that something's not right. And man, that's just you look back, that's just horrible to see.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you put yourself in his shoes and what he's put himself through to get the career behind him that he's had. What's he, 12-year veteran, is he?
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's been around. He's taken a lot of knocks over the course of his career. Physically, I mean. And he must have. I'm putting it down to him feeling a sense of loyalty to the rest of the team and not wanting to let them down by going out of the game. And yeah, he took an absolute hammering, and it's disappointing to see him on the sideline. But again, he's one of many. I've said it before, I'll say it again, he's one of many. We've had so many injuries this season. We've had such a depleted roster of starters. And I think that's another factor. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, we got a call. How you doing, caller? What's your name?
It's Immodest Lion. What's up, gentlemen?
Hey, Immodest Lion. I have to just really quick take a moment. Me and Immodest Lion have spent a good deal of time on Call of Duty together, just like Trev and I had played. I have a lot of fun, man. It's a lot of fun killing people, and it kind of takes out a little bit of that lion's
angst
and disgust and bad feelings. It just kind of makes it all go away, because you can feel like, you know, there's another official down. There's another official down.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
I went Lombardi. Caldwell.
They should make some mods where we can put, like, zebra out forms on them.
Oh, that would be great. That would be awesome. How you doing, man? Thanks for calling.
I'm doing, good, I guess, relatively. You guys?
Yeah. You know, just carrying the flame. I can't get too mad about this anymore at this point. You know, at the end of 0-16, I couldn't rant. You know, at game 16, I couldn't rant anymore about it. I couldn't scream in my living room and scare my cats or any of that. It's just, it was just like, this just sucks. This is where it's kind of, and I'm kind of feel like that now.
Yeah, it's kind of done. We are where we are. We know where we stand for the rest of the season. It's just, how are the numbers going to stack up at the end?
That's the thing, man. It does feel kind of like it's a game that not meaningful, but still you want to win. It's your team. Oh, you know, there's pride involved in it, and it's definitely it's still heartbreaking, man, especially when you're facing a team that's supposedly worse than you. I mean, I didn't see many people predict the Rams to even win. I mean, that's how bad they were compared to us in other people's eyes. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, the Lions should win that. I'll predict the Lions to win. And I did too, because I'm like, their offense has on a stalemate. Ours has looked a lot better since we fired our offense coordinator and Cooter had come in and stuff. So things were adding up to feel like, okay, that should be a win game. And what if that was a game that we needed to win? Would they have played like that? You know what I mean? I wonder. Yeah. And that would have just been in the coffin then anyway. The Green Bay game, the Seattle game, if we won those, you know what I mean? You still have to win fucking games.
Yeah.
They're getting paid millions of dollars to win games.
Yeah,
you're totally
right, man. And I mean, 140 yards and 2 touchdowns for Todd Gurley on that team.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yep, we gave him his career day again. We've been doing that. We have a knack for doing that with certain players. So I know Keenan Allen was one of the Chargers. Like, all these players, they still have it. You know, they're not doing too hot. And then, oh, look at Matt Flynn. The fuck, we made him rich.
Oh,
I know that's
God.
Going back a little bit.
Oh,
but Jesus, man, we have a knack for making. And Gurley's good, don't get me wrong. He's definitely not like, you know what I mean? He's good. But
yeah.
It just goes to show, like, when people are having a rough time, we seem to say, hey, buddy, we'll give you your little boost. Don't worry.
We have made,
so that's kind of
we have made so many people look good. And I'm so tired of like NFL highlight reels where it doesn't matter. Name a player. Troy Aikman had the game of his life against the Detroit Lions, right? And here's where he made the 10 millionth touchdown pass. And you get the Lions on defense. Every time someone breaks a record, it's you know, with a Lions play in defense. Every time a horror show record shows up, you see the Lions. Their faces there.
I've always seen that too, man. It's so funny that you mentioned that. I always see like a little helmet, a little Lions helmet, you know, miss a tackle or something. I'm like, hey, it's my team. Look how bad we suck.
It got so bad today. My wife was like, I don't think I'd mind if the Rams came to LA. I could go with that.
Yeah, exactly.
In the middle of a Lions game. And she's a big time fan, right? It's just where we are, I guess.
So what's with the lack of Kelvin Johnson and Theoretic again? Like our two really good fucking playmakers that always come in the clutch or always in the wayside. I just couldn't believe again that they're just, oh, okay, it's their down, throw them in. Hopefully they, you know, if we can toss it to them, great. That's how I feel with this team. I mean, we have a lot of good playmakers, man, but ultimately those two, especially Riddick, I mean, he had some good things there. I saw a couple, and Calvin Johnson had like one or two catches, I think. So that was kind of one of the, you know, they're kind of go back in that pattern where they're being a little conservative again.
Yeah,
I don't
think they went back to it. They've been conservative all along. Calvin had one catch. Theo, every time he touched the ball, looked electric, but there was only just those couple of times that he got the ball. Abdullah was impotent out there today. I would have sat him a heck of a lot earlier than they did to get Joik out there, because he was impressive. He was producing.
Yep.
He was, yep. Yeah. Johnson actually did more blocking, I think, than he did catching today.
Right.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But I don't know if you saw the same thing as me, but there were a couple of times where he was actually being more use blocking because he wasn't getting the targets to make the catches.
And yeah, to lend some level of credibility, they were doing an excellent job. They were paying a lot of attention to Calvin out there and doubling and tripling him sometimes. Right. So there wasn't a lot of support, a lot of opportunity to get the ball to him. Now the interception that Stafford threw to Calvin, that's a ball that could have gotten to Calvin had the ball been placed well. That was just a shit throw from Stafford.
It was. How do you overthrow Calvin? I've always said that.
I know.
Oh, Jesus, man.
It was terrible. I mean, those kinds of things just, you just shake and scream is all you can do.
And speaking of offense, man, we always thought, man, we have a good receiving core, which we do. But then you look at, after Calvin and Tate, man, Fuller and Jones, like, they have definitely splashes of, oh, shit, that was a good play, that was a good play. But ultimately, I mean, I don't know if they just need more time. I know they're usually on the, you know, on the bench and stuff, because when Lance Moore's out there, and he's been doing pretty good, you know, he's doing enough to keep him in. But, man, you put those two guys, and they were missing some key plays, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was just really surprised on how lackluster our third and fourth strings kind of looked there. They were not really doing all that well. And I know you guys were touching base on that earlier, too, but. Yeah. I was just really disappointed in their performance today as well.
It seemed like everybody was had just given up. By the time that second half had started, it seemed like the team was just given that 80% run and hoping for the best. It was a sad, sad sight today.
Yeah.
Yep. So many missed tackles and stuff on the defense. I mean, Nada, man, again, just not really a huge factor. He had that really good game in Philadelphia where it kind of looked like he was healthy. He was starting to perform like we expected him to fill that small gap. Not really small gap, but, you know, the line looked good, man. I mean, fucking Ants is a monster. But you're putting out in there to try to fill that role of Sue, and he's just not performing.
Can you imagine if we still had Tyron Walker?
I mean,
I think that would be a whole different ball of wax there. Just to add that one more kind of bull rushing monster, and it's still, I'm still bitter about the fact that they didn't call anything on that chop block that broke his leg. But, you know, and of course with the call today on the phantom chop block, that just
said, oh god,
I'll say it again, you could hear the snap of Tyron Walker's leg in the stands, and not a single ref saw the chop block, and here there was nothing even close to a chop block, and they called one. It was, how the fuck? I want to touch on it really quick, and I do want to talk about Ebron in a little bit, but he put some tweets out here. One of his tweets is, I wasn't here for the past thousands of years with this team, but I've been here 2 years, and I've seen it all with the officials.
Right.
He said, one game will tell you exactly how they treat you here.
Right.
And, you know, look, Ebron's a young kind of vocal guy who sometimes puts his foot in his mouth, but he you can tell he feels the same way we do about it. It's just, and you have players, right, that feel like that guy. He's not just played in the NFL. He's played in a lot of different places, and he's seen it. I mean, he's just talking about it. It'll probably cost him some money, but he can see it. You can see it. It is so blatantly obvious that there is something going on. And, you know, of course, my whole piece is it's all about the money. And Blandino has created the perfect mob cover to put down and pick up some big money in Vegas. And what better place to do it than Detroit?
Yeah, and where the fuck is our coach? He's sitting in the sidelines wide-eyed, like, oh, what happened? You know what I mean? We do need a coach that would throw a fucking fit, and I don't care. And I'm not saying we need an undisciplined coach like Schwartz, but I miss the passionate coach. And I know it's one of those things like, oh, you get a real passionate coach, and I wish we had someone that could bring, you know, sanity and discipline to the team. So it's always one of those balancing acts, and we always seem to have a fucking problem with that. But, I mean, like, yeah, look like Harbaugh or something. You know, both of them, man, they always have that. They're respected because they don't take shit.
Yep.
No one gives a fuck about Caldwell. No one respects him other than Dungy, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, one of the problems with Caldwell is he's never got anything to say for himself. When you look at him in press conference, and they say, what did you think about the face masking call? I'm not going to talk about that. Fucking what? It's
the fucking podium.
You what, mate?
yeah. Exactly. What do you not have an opinion? Has that part of your brain been surgically removed or something? What the fuck? I mean, this is supposed to be, is it just a job? Do you just want to turn up, do what you have to do, take your wages and knock off at the end of the day? Because if that's the case, you're not fit to be an NFL coach. You have to give a shit. And we don't see anything from Caldwell to convince us that he actually does, because he just looks like a gormless fuck 99% of the time. And never offers an opinion, never shows us any fire. And I quite agree. We don't want someone that's going to be a complete firebrand and cause more trouble than it's worth. But for Christ's sake, the man needs to have an opinion and express it.
Well, you talk about his brain being surgically removed. I mean, think about it. He does actually stand there like he's had a lobotomy.
He does.
He's just the big, dumb, goofy-ass look on his face, doesn't understand what's going on in front of him, has no reaction to anything. He's truly, I mean, I think, and if that's the case, which I at this point think it is, what does it say about the Lions organization? Hiring a guy like that. My goodness. And all the quote-unquote pedigree comes from a not-so-great college tenure, lucking into a gig in Baltimore, crashing the plane in Indianapolis, and oh no, that's just because they lost Peyton. I'm sorry, I don't buy that. But the one thing that we can say, and I think this is key, because I've seen a couple people talking about, and I started thinking this way earlier too, that if this is a multi-year rebuild with a new coach. If you look at how Indianapolis bounced back once they dumped Caldwell, again, you know, they drafted Andrew Luck, but he was a rookie, right? He was thrown right to the fire of a crappy team and turned it around. We have a team full of talent here. I believe we're going to have a great draft, right? We're going to pick up some good. We're going to have the opportunity to pick up some good, you know, immediate impact players. This is a team that next year could very well come back pretty quickly and pretty strong under the right leadership.
You'd like to hope so.
And one last
quote, I hope so.
Observation I saw Kyle Meineke posted. He asked Ebron if he'd seen Riddick's chop block, and says that Ebron just laughed and walked out of the locker room frustrated.
I don't know about him, man. It's hard. I mean, he's still definitely got time. I'm sure a couple more years before they really, you know, think to do anything with him. But it is sad, man, because he looks like he has it. You know, he has the fucking swag. He has the attitude, it seems, and stuff. But he doesn't have the hands or I don't know. He looked like a decent. Wasn't he like a rough college player too? I didn't follow him too much, but he made like outstanding catches and shit. But it was always like. He didn't seem like the most consistent tight end ever.
Exactly. Drops were the knock on him. He made great plays. When he got the ball, he was big, physical, top player. And again, who's he even coached by? And what have we seen happen to some of the other folks there? I wanted to see a hell of a lot more out of Ebron this year. I said it, and I hated the pick.
I did too. I was like, what?
Ranting. I rumpelstiltskinned up and down so bad you'd think I'd have crashed through the ground and been wherever. I don't remember that whole fairy tale, but whatever. I was angry as F. And then, you know, Aaron Donald goes next. We see the value of the team 2 years in. And it's almost, it's even worse as it's put out to the fore. But, I wanted to see more out of him this year. Hopefully, we can get a coach in place and I can be proven wrong. That's what I'm hoping for so much, that suddenly someone comes in and helps him learn how to concentrate and make that catch, because he absolutely has all the intangibles and tangibles to be an amazing tight end. He could just be spectacular at that position if he could just hold on to that ball.
Exactly. I mean, going into the drafting, man, that's another thing too. I mean, we're going to have a new GM and we have a new president now, so it's going to be interesting. It's not, hopefully not going to be the same old. I mean, it obviously could be worse, so let's hope not. That's not the case. Hopefully they'll get some competent people in there where they'll know good talent when they see it and not just take risk. And I mean, you take risk with every pick you get. You know, you can never. There's never one guarantee in the draft or with any player for that matter. But
in particular in Detroit.
Don't seem to have Ansa was an anomaly, man, because he's the one guy that we drafted that really blew up.
Yeah.
It's hard to say that about a lot of the other guys we have in the last couple of years. You know, they've been either decent or they've been fucking a disaster, or, you know, we've had a couple good ones, but.
Yeah, it's the real thing, the real point, I think, is even beyond drafting, but this is still true of drafts and draft picks, how many of them are not even in the NFL anymore?
And, exactly.
And that, you know, Corey Fuller is a example of a guy not being necessarily drafted, but who's not going to be in the NFL. He's on our roster this year, and he's playing weekly, and he won't be in the league when we drop him. How that should never happen from your roster if you have any kind of a quality team. Developmental players should be able to be developed or should have some, you know, ground floor level of ability before you say they can, you know, this is someone we can develop. Corey Fuller, you know, what they said is the ground floor was pretty fucking low, and his development has been garbage.
Look at Chris Durham the last couple of years, remember?
Yeah.
Like, people like that were like, we don't know how we feel about him. He does good, blah, blah. And then he just disappears. And then we dropped him thinking, oh, yeah, he's probably going to go somewhere. And then, yeah, people pick him up, and then he's on the fucking bench. He's like their third or fourth string when he was like our third string or second string sometimes if Calvin was hurt. And it's like, that's who we were playing with, man.
Yeah, I think he was actually our first string quarterback for a game or two.
Yeah.
I mean, when your talent is that light, right, you really have some trouble. All right, man. Hey, appreciate the call. You know, you want to get together in about an hour or so? I'm gonna be looking for some of that double XP.
Yes, sir, man. Let's do it. I'll get home at 11 after work.
All right, cool. 11 Eastern, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'll look for you then.
All right, thanks for the therapy, guys. Appreciate it. Keep it up.
No problem, man. Modest Lion.
All right, take
Thank
it
you,
easy.
Sir.
Yeah, hey. Have a good one, guys.
All right, bye. You too. All right, that was a Modest Lion. Great call. Thanks a lot, man. And he's a fun Call of Duty player as well. Moving into the next season. All right, guys, we'll do a little wrap-up here. If anyone wants to get a last call in, we'll let you do that. Phone number is area code 248-782-8384. That's 248-782-8384. Or you can ring us up on Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. One word, Detroit Lions Podcast. So, Mike, any closing thoughts on the game today and looking forward? What are you thinking?
Well, Chris, it's a tricky one because the season's now we're playing for pride and possibly for draft picks. I quite agree with what Amadeus Lyon was saying insofar as the guys are still being paid to go out on the field to win a game. And I would expect them to continually do that, set out with the objective of winning, regardless of where we stand in the season, whether it's the first game or the last game, whether we're winning out or tanking disastrously. So who have we got left? We've got another game against the Vikings, haven't we? We've got the Bears and... Who else? There's one other team I'm missing, isn't there?
Saints.
That's right.
It's the Saints, the Niners.
Have we got 49ers as well, yeah.
The Niners, that's what I heard.
Okay. We'll see. It's hard to pin down if I've got any hopes or aspirations for the rest of the season. I'd like to see no one else get badly injured, I think would be one thing. I do think... Yeah, Stafford had a couple of bad throws today, but I don't think he can be tarred with the same brush as some of the guys who seem to not be giving it 100%. I think he still had a good game deep down. I'd like to see him carry on and ideally not get, you know, the living daylights beaten out of him every time he takes to the field.
Right.
It'd
be a great time to have a developmental quarterback, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah. But would you count Orlovsky as a developmental quarterback?
No.
So we've got a young
developmental prospect quarterback that maybe you got in the second round last year, and he's, you know, you start grooming him a little bit to replace Stafford in a couple of years or to be ready to, right? That's what you do right now when you're a team with a decent draft and a decent roster. Instead, you get Corey Fuller out there fucking things up for you.
Mm, Yeah, I mean, that's not to say that we can't do that for other positions.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, we've got plenty of guys who keep making the inactive roster who are, what's the phrase, a healthy scratch.
Yes.
So
at least get them some snaps and maybe get them out there as trade bait.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's a win-win, isn't it? Because like you said, trade bait. It's either trade bait, they up their value if they play well, or they prove themselves as worth getting rid of, or they develop into something that we can use as an asset for the future. There's nothing to lose at this stage by developing the guys that are constantly sitting. It was a shame to see a loss against a team that we should have beaten on paper. We were screwed over by the officials once again, which just lends weight to all the conspiracy theories and the WWE theories. It's hard to walk away with an overwhelmingly positive feeling from today's game because there were so many negatives.
Yeah.
It's just been one frustration after another this season, and what we saw tonight has only served to compound that, to my eyes. I don't know what more I can say on it, really, Chris, to be perfectly frank with you. It's frustrating, it's disappointing. I would like us to not give up. I'd like us to try developing some of the players that have been sat for a while. But I mainly want us to beat the Bears.
Yeah, that's really all I care about. That's the only thing left in this season that has meaning. And even then, if it comes down to it like I think it will, we're going to be facing off against them for the first overall pick.
Yeah, so who wants to lose the most?
Right, that's really what it's going to come down to. I'm going to share, you know, I was thinking about this as the show was going on, and a guy, Flory2AW, did a great job in the post-game thread, really, I think, of summing up the game. He wrote, bad execution, blown opportunities, horrendous play calling, can't finish, and a sprinkling of poor officiating. Mm-hmm. Some things never change. At least Stafford looks like a guy who genuinely cares about winning.
Yeah,
that's it. That's the whole game in a nutshell. So good job there, Flory2AW. Very, very well done. All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up for this show. Remember, we're looking for your involvement. Give us some comments and feedback in the comment section of the subreddit of DetroitLions.reddit.com. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at DETLionsPodcast, DETLionsPodcast. Also, you can leave us a voice message on Skype. That's Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. If you don't want to use Skype, you can use our message line. It's 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Please don't forget, if you're going to do any shopping on Amazon, use the link, turn off your ad blocker, go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, use the link on the right-hand side of the page to get to Amazon. You don't spend anything more. It's an extra click or two, but it helps us out, helps pay for bandwidth, and helps keep the show going. For all you guys that have done that so far, thanks, and please keep that up. Our next show is going to go live this Wednesday. It's our weekly show. Be sure to tune in for that. We are actually going to have a filmmaker on this week. He's doing a documentary about the Lions and being a Lions fan. It's really cracking up to be a pretty good-looking film, and we're actually going to make an appearance in that. So tune in. Give him a listen. We've got some other things that are on the docket to talk about as well. Make sure you go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, subscribe to the podcast, and it will come in your device automatically. And who doesn't want that? All right. Thank you guys for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go, baby. Lions on three. 1, 2, 3. Lions!
Danger, danger.